it allows us to be engaged because we're not so future, you know, focused that we miss the moment.
We miss the moments.
Yeah. I think about that sometimes, like a Christmas, for example.
Sure.
Christmas is, you know, I always look forward to Christmas. Family time is such a special day, and the Christmas Eve and Christmas Day. But the joy and the some of the best moments of Christmas come 2 weeks ahead of time, or you know, a week ahead of time, or just part of the season.
Yeah.
And if you're so focused on just the day, sometimes you miss the season.
Right. Right.
And I think that, you know, the same way as if we're so focused on the return, you kind of miss what's supposed to be happening on the way there.
Yes.
The preparation and the great things that are happening along the way. This is Unhurried, and I'm your host, Doug Kyle. You know, life can feel like a race, rushing to the next thing, never time to reflect. But there is incredible value in slowing down with God to take in His perspective, His presence, His pace. How do we balance the soon return of Jesus with, you know, the fact that He could return beyond our lifetime? Put that differently, when it comes to the return of Jesus, do we feel more anxious or more at peace? For a lot of us, to talk about the end times brings tension. But what if it actually was like the book of 1 Thessalonians encourages us to do, and that is to let it be something that lifts us up and brings us hope and even joy? This is season 2 of episode 41 of Unhurried. I'm your host, Doug Kyle. I'm alongside of Ryan Viramontes here in the studio.
Hey.
In the bowels of Green Valley Church. Here we are in the back room, green room. We're recording here.
The dungeon.
But this is great. Today I want to talk about
Susie. Sorry, Marty, which I know she listens to the podcast too. She calls this room my room. She calls it Ryan's room.
Oh, we're in Ryan's room then. That's what I should have said.
It cracks me up because she's always like, I think it's in Ryan's room. And like, people know what she's talking about.
Yeah.
And I'm like, it's not my room.
Yeah.
Like, I don't live here, you know.
You've decorated so nicely, Ryan.
Yes,
well done
you.
Here.
Thank you.
Well done. It's so nice.
Guitar cases and lights and,
well,
you
it
know.
It makes sense, Ryan's room.
It makes sense.
Yeah. Well, here we are. We're actually getting close to the end of season 2. And today I want to talk a little bit about relaxed readiness
when
it comes to end time stuff, to have a relaxed readiness.
Right.
What exactly does that mean? But we're coming off a great weekend. We actually hung out this weekend.
We did.
Again, people don't think that we, you know, see each other outside of the podcast, but we were, your wife and yourself and my wife and me were at a wedding together.
Yes, we were. Yeah.
And that was a lot of fun.
Table 12. We represented
table 12. It was a lot of fun. A great, great, wedding.
Yeah.
Congratulations to Noah and Alyssa who got married. And, I was going to talk to you a little bit, though, about Cookie Gate.
Oh, yeah.
Cookie Gate was a little bit of a scandal at the wedding.
It was a little bit of a scandal.
So this is the first time you and I have talked about it.
Sure, sure.
But how did you see that playing out? Because to me, I thought we were going one direction, and suddenly it took a hard left.
Yes. Yeah. Well, we went over there pretty confidently that we could just go over and grab cookies, but they hadn't cut the cake yet.
Right. That was the problem.
And so then Mandy had said, well, we can't grab cookies because they haven't cut the cake yet.
Yeah.
Right. But it clearly looked like cookies were already missing.
There were some missing cookies.
Yes.
There were some cookies that had been sampled. And we headed over there, and these were good cookies.
These are great.
I mean, this is awesome. I think it was you know, more attractive than the cake at the wedding.
Sure.
Cookies
looked
cookies. Amazing.
Yeah.
So the four of us walked over there, And the idea was, let's go just check them out.
Sure.
And I interpreted check them out as...
we're going to grab some.
Taste them.
Right.
And we got over there. And then our wives were like, no, we cannot take these before the cake is cut.
Right, right.
So apparently there's this...
I guess this is rule.
There's this hard line.
But people didn't follow it, though.
People did not understand that hard
cookies
line.
Cookies were then, you know, consumed. Already taken. So then I think we walked away. And then in the moment of us walking away, somehow they already cut the cake. And now we were in the back of the line when we were at the first in the line. You know?
Yeah, so anyway.
It happens.
That was the low point of what was an otherwise amazing wedding and great celebration.
Just know if you're going to invite us to a wedding, give us the dessert first.
Or explain the rules.
Right. Yeah. Right.
Make the rules clear.
Yes. My mom's, one of my mom's high school best friends, her kids, and then my brother and I, we were almost raised like cousins. Like we call each other cousins.
Mm-hmm.
And because I know like all of her uncles and aunts, and then she knows all of my uncles and aunts. And so I remember we would go over their house. We lived like really close, so that they would come over ours, and then we would go over their house. And I remember one time we went over their house, and Auntie Diana was like, I don't have dinner ready. It's taking longer, you know, than I thought. You know, she's like, so she loves dessert. So she's like, so I'm going to just, we'll have dessert before dinner.
Perfect.
Right?
Unbelievable.
But I was a young kid. I don't even know how old I had to be.
This was the best day of your life.
Right. Well, I was like, can you do this? Is this against the law? Like, is this allowed? Yeah. You can do this?
Yeah.
You know? And so I don't know how old I was, but I still to this day, like, remember the feeling of going, this does not feel right, but it's awesome.
It's awesome. This, I know I'm breaking some unknown law here, but I don't care. This is amazing.
I'm breaking the law.
Am I going to get handcuffed and dragged away? I don't know, but it tastes so good.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. I don't even know. I had to be like no more than 10 or 11 when that happened.
Yeah, that's so funny.
Changed my life. Now I just want dessert all the time, you know?
That's so funny. That's awesome. Well, last week we also asked you as our viewers and listeners if you would send us photos of your swag.
Yeah.
Somewhere we would mention you, whether it was the mug or your hat or your two-sided puck. And guess what? We got a photo.
Nice.
It was prompted by the guy who sent us a photo of him camping with the mug. And we got a photo from Sandra. They used to go to our church, and now they live in Switzerland. We've mentioned them before.
Right.
And a picture of them on just the unhurried mug, actually. They weren't in the picture, but a picture of the unhurried mug, which amazes me that they packed it and took it, because it's not the lightest thing to put in your international luggage, on their balcony with the Alps in the background.
Oh, my gosh.
So nice. So, Sandra, thanks so much for sending that photo. Yeah, and can I say once again, global audience?
we're on an international podcast.
International podcast, global audience. Thank you very much.
We're kind of a big deal.
Kind of a big deal. Yeah.
What a terrible place to live, too, you know, with the Alps in the background.
I know.
What a terrible.
Rub it in. She was like, yes, I'll send you a photo and rub it into my San Diego friends. Yeah, it was awesome to see their view and everything. And we miss them, Claudio and the family. So that's awesome to hear from them.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah, so good. Well, I have a number of other listener questions or comments that I'm going to save till the end. But we still have the contest going to give away two-sided pucks signed.
Cool.
So a couple more people asked me for them this weekend. Actually, someone actually had me sign his mug.
Cool.
So now we've got a mug that's got an autograph on it that's wandering around the lobby somewhere.
Nice.
So those are still available. If you want a two-sided puck that's been autographed by either Ryan, myself, or apparently Cindy, you just need to come up to us and say, what's for snack? And if you don't know what that means, then just listen to a few podcasts ago and you'll know exactly what we're talking about. We're in this series on with a long-term perspective, hope on the horizon, looking at the second coming. We've used 1 Thessalonians as our guide. We've mentioned how often Paul himself in that letter references the second coming of Christ and how he wanted his audience, the people he wrote to, the readers, to be aware that that changes everything about how they live today. So we're kind of talking about that and how that hope keeps us ready. This past Sunday, I mentioned that God doesn't give us a date or a time about when Jesus is going to return, and that that's actually a good thing. There's some real benefits to that and some ways that it protects us as well by not giving us a date or a time. And but having said that, then we wonder, I wanted to take that a little further. What if we knew, or let me ask you this, Ryan, what if you knew that Jesus was coming back tomorrow? What would you do? Would you drop everything? Would you cancel your plans?
Yeah.
Or would you keep doing life as normal? You know, would you still go to your hockey games today if you have them or whatever?
don't ask me. Yes.
You would still go to play hockey. Exactly. So you would life as usual.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, no, I feel like if to be super honest, I feel like it would be one of those things where I think I would look at my life and figure out if I have any wrongs out there that I should probably right.
Yeah.
Which makes you think maybe you should do that now.
Maybe you should do that anyway.
Right.
Yeah.
You know?
I think it's unfair to ask the question tomorrow, but let's say if you knew it was a year from now for sure a year from now, would you still play hockey today?
Oh, yeah. For sure. Yeah. I go through it, you know. Yeah. So I try and, you know, be as, you know, nice as possible when I'm out there. You know, sometimes it gets a little chippy, but, you know, I always think about things and I always go, is this something that I could walk back? You know, like if you're, you know, going to get a little chippy or something like that, you know, like
I guess that's a better question.
Yeah.
We know you'd still play hockey, but would you play hockey differently? Or would you still play?
Somebody checks me and I apologize.
Yeah. It's like when I was playing pickup basketball, it's like someone told me they're a believer. I go, I couldn't tell from the elbows you were throwing.
Yeah.
You couldn't tell from, wow.
My wife, every time I go and have a game, she always says, make Jesus proud. And I go, okay, I know.
That's great. That's great. Well, I want to talk a little bit about how do we live with this balance between the fact that Jesus could come back at any time, or it might not be in our lifetime.
Right.
And that's kind of a tension that we're called to live within. And that was kind of the tone of the message yesterday. In my message, I talked about a lot of false dates that people have predicted in history of Jesus's return. And all of them were sort of recent, certainly in my lifetime, times that people had predicted that. But if you go back further in history, centuries back, this has happened all the time, that there have been people who have, for some reason, overlooked that the Bible says that no one knows the date or the time, or they somehow think they're the exception, and they've put a date on the calendar, said for sure this is when Jesus is coming back.
Yeah.
And yet, up until now, they've always been wrong. That is, we kind of talked about that, and I think that conversation alone leads us to be a little bit more cautious and maybe a little bit more long-term perspective on his return. But then in the same message, I really emphasize the importance of being alert and being ready and being prepared and living our lives now as if in the real possibility that he could come back before I finish this sentence.
Right.
And so how do we balance those two perspectives without leading to this kind of panic frenzy or passive kind of complacency? Right. How do we hold those two things together? The passage that I'm thinking about here is 1 Thessalonians 5:1-2, where Paul writes, "Now, brothers and sisters, about times and dates, we do not need to write to you, for you know very well the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night." And so Paul resisted the temptation to give a time and a date. wisely and he also honestly, because he didn't know.
No.
Jesus didn't. Jesus, while he was on earth, didn't know. He allowed that to be part of what was kept from him in his human presence on earth. And Paul didn't know either. And then he uses the analogy that it's going to be like a thief in the night. So we're supposed to be alert, but also to be engaged. Somehow we're supposed to be ready, but also not removed from the world. And I think that's an interesting balance that we're supposed to have here on earth. I think a lot of time, there's a lot of individuals, Christians as well as churches, who, in my opinion, specialize in the second coming. That's a probably good way to put it. They specialize in it. That's their passion and that's their focus. And I think the reason they do it is probably, you know, I want to give them the benefit of the doubt. The reason that they do it is because there's something good that happens in us when there's that sense of urgency and alertness. And so this, like for them, yes, let's just keep this in the front of our minds because it does keep us, you know, really strongly engaged. But the problem is we can't keep that intensity up all the time.
Right.
You know, that kind of intensity, you know, humanly, our emotions can't keep doing that day after day, month after month, year after year.
Yeah.
And also, if we did, it would sort of interfere with other parts of the Christian life, which calls us to perseverance and to be disciplined and to be growing and the things that happen only in the long term, not the short term.
Right, right. Well, it's also, you know, be still. Also, you know what I mean? To kind of rest in and, you know, have the comfort of the Lord, you know, be upon us and not in a very urgent kind of a way. There's times to be vigilant and there's times to, you know, be aware of what's going on, you know, especially in our very broken world, but to also know that God has a plan and that he's going to protect us, you know, and that we don't have to, you know, get all riled up all the time, you know?
Yeah. I agree. I think if there's a good analogy for this, it's sort of like when we're taught that if you face an emergency, a crisis situation, that trying to stay calm is actually the most beneficial thing you can do.
Yeah.
You know, stay calm and exit smoothly or whatever the situation is, that calmness actually helps you to be more prepared in an emergency situation and more able to deal with it.
Yeah.
And that really emotionally healthy way to approach any kind of big change or stressful situation in our lives is to have a relaxed readiness.
Right.
To be prepared, but not panicking in that situation. And I think if there's an overemphasis on the second coming of Christ any day now, the urgency of it, it leads to sort of a panic in a way that can be counterproductive in the Christian life.
Yes.
And in the same way, if you don't address it, if you leave it out, if you don't talk about it or think about it very much, or you think it's going to be, you know, way, way, way in the future, it leads to complacency and a drowsiness that I talked about that isn't healthy either.
Right, right. I think you can miss out on what God is trying to do in your life right now.
Yes.
You know, sometimes like when you have an event coming up, you know, it's kind of all you can think about, you know, and you miss the day to day until you get to said event. You know what I mean? And then all of a sudden you're there, but you've missed, you know, things that have happened over the last 2 weeks or 3 weeks or whatever, you know, so, you know, God not telling us when, you know, Jesus is coming back or Jesus himself not telling us when he's coming back, I think allows us to be ready, but then also be in the moments that he wants us to be in, the beats that he wants us
to be
in.
That's a great way. I like that. I like that a lot. It allows us to be engaged because we're not so future, you know, focused that we miss the moments.
We miss the moments.
Yeah. I think about that sometimes, like a Christmas, for example.
Sure.
Christmas is, you know, I always look forward to Christmas. Family time is such a special day, and the Christmas Eve and Christmas Day. But the joy and the the some of the best moments of Christmas come 2 weeks ahead of time, or
yes,
you know, a week ahead of time, or just part of the season.
Yeah.
And if you're so focused on just the day, sometimes you miss the season.
Right. Right.
And I think that, you know, the same way as if we're so focused on the return, you kind of miss what's supposed to be happening in on the way there.
Yes.
The preparation and the great things that are happening along the way.
Yeah. Yeah. My, my kids love the tree lighting event. So for me, it's like, that's become really important to me, you know, as a tradition, you know, and I love that. I love that. It's like, that's, it's not Christmas Day. It usually is pretty early on.
Yeah. It's the very, it's like early December,
you know, sometimes late November, you know, after Thanksgiving. And it's just like, but for me, it's like, oh, now this feels good. You know what I mean? Like, I love the event. I love how our church does it. I think you do great, especially when you interview the kids. Like, that always cracks me up because you never know what kids are going to say.
No, you don't.
There's been some years where it's like, oh, brother.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
This is live. No, it's always so cute.
It is so cute. It is adorable, you know? And then you've got some kids that are like so prepared, you know, with their answers, you know, they're like, you know, they come knowing their stuff.
They come ready to go. That's true. And so just, you know, enjoying the entire season, if we just want to use that analogy, is also part of the preparation for the Lord's return too,
for sure.
Enjoying the season of it.
Yes.
And so it's interesting because you know, the New Testament talks about us living in the last days right now.
Right.
Well, living in the last days back then, that they were in the last days then, and it's been 2,000 years of last days. But I think that's part of saying we're living in the season of his return and enjoying the whole season and not just focusing specifically on the day.
Right, right.
Otherwise, we're going to be panicked on one hand, or we're just kind of be withdrawn and not engaged.
Right.
On the other hand.
Yeah.
So it really is this faithful engagement. There's a well-known story that's often attributed to Martin Luther, although I think there's no direct record to him actually saying it, but it still makes such a good point whether this is actually something that happened or not. Someone asked him, if you knew that Christ was coming tomorrow, what would you do?
Yeah.
And he said, if I knew Christ was coming tomorrow, I would still plant my apple tree today. And I think it just conveys so much, because if you plant an apple tree and Jesus is coming, what's the point? It's not going to have time
to
grow.
See it.
But the point is that to go about being a part of your everyday life is really what we should do, even though we know his return is imminent.
Right.
Faithful living today is the right response.
Yeah.
And James said almost the same thing. James in 5 verses 7 and 8 says, be patient then, brothers and sisters, until the Lord's coming. See how the farmer waits for the land to yield its crop.
Right.
And so I love that there's that agricultural connection, which really lends itself to us thinking about time and patience and seasons and all that.
Yes.
And just being, you know, about our business.
Right.
Jesus told a parable, and the parable was the idea that if we, you know, blesses the person who God finds ready and still being about his work when he returns. When the master returns, he finds his servants doing what he asked them to do.
Right. Right.
And so it's not about, you know, waiting on a mountaintop or, you know, withdrawing from this world, but actually doing the things that he's called us to do.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I think it's so true. It's like, you know, we want to be prepared, and we want to you know that Jesus is coming back, and he may come back in our lifetime and he may not, you know, but I think he also wants us to not forget or not, you know, not take for granted the relationships that we do have and the communities that we are a part of, you know, and be in those moments also, to be present in those moments, you know, where like the other day I called, my brother and I had been playing phone tag for like 3 or 4 days. You know, like I would call him and then he'd call me. And finally I you know, I was like, oh, I can call him. You know, so I called him and he didn't pick up. And so he sends me back a text and he goes, I'm a little busy. And, you know, and I was going to just shoot him back a text, you know, like, you know, don't, you know, whatever, just call me later. But he sends a picture, you know, that comes in while I'm typing and he's holding, you know, his baby, right? He's like, I'm a little busy. And so,
yeah.
And I was driving and I was like, and I had my kids with me too, but I was like, oh man, what I would give right now to like hold a baby.
Yeah, right.
I'm like, you don't have to do anything. You're just there, you know, you're just present and you're there. And so I was like, you know, it kind of took me back a little bit. I know my kids are still little too, but like, I was like, man, what I would give right now to just be present and not doing anything and not thinking about anything else and just holding a baby, you know, like, I'm like, that would be great, you know?
Yeah. And I would, you know, say to you, the age your kids are, that there's something very special, and you know that, very precious about this season too. And those are the things that matter.
Yes.
You know, those are the times that matter. Yeah. And we want to enjoy that and also be engaged in that and also take advantage of the opportunities that we have right now, because, you know, I don't think from heaven's perspective, we'll look back and miss anything about Earth, but we do have opportunities here that we won't have there.
Yes,
you know,
for
and
sure.
We want to take advantage of that while we have to be fully engaged. I think about, and this is probably an unfair scenario, but I just cartoonize this a little bit rather than, you know, the guy standing on the street corner with a sign saying the end is near, you know, and that only makes sense if you believe that, you know, you're not going to see tomorrow, you know, to be out there and just, because you kind of feel like, don't you have a job and, you know, don't you have to provide for someone and, you know, aren't there things in your life that you need to be concerned about and worried about? And, but if tomorrow's the day, then you can drop everything and paint a street sign and put it up. But if there's a long-term process, there's probably better ways you could spend your time.
Right.
And not that you wouldn't want to communicate that message, but there's probably, you know, that communication comes in the context of a life that's well lived.
Yes. Very much so. Yeah. Very much so. I had a cool, I don't know why I thought about this right now, but the kind of like what you were saying, earlier about like not panicking and not, you know, cause it kind of puts you in a kind of a manic kind of a state.
Yes.
Like if you're so future focused, you know? And so, during Halloween, we got invited to one of our friends, you know, kind of Halloween event like we do here at the church.
Yeah.
And so, we took the kids there and stuff, and they had like a few, like jump house, like the blow up jump house, you know, bouncers. And I was holding Brindley, and we were all just talking, and then, you know, his kids, you know, their kids, and then my two older ones were like, can we go on the, you know, bounce house? And we were like, okay, cool. So they were like far enough away that I could still see them, but I was like not really with them, you know, like I was just kind of focused. So I was just standing there and we're just talking and stuff. And so I'm kind of like keeping an eye on them. And all of a sudden I start to realize that the float or the bouncer is starting to deflate.
Mm.
So I'm like, I think that thing's going down.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I was like, and my kids are in there.
Right.
You know? So I was like, I just kind of calmly, like, I was like, Mandy, can you take the baby? You know?
Uh-huh.
And so I was like, I think that floats, I think it's coming down, you know? So she took Brindley and I walked over and I stepped on the entrance, because by the time I had gotten over there, it like had kind of really started to come down. And so I step on the, like where the entrance is. I step on the entrance and it opens up just like enough of a, you know, hole or whatever that I could like reach in, and I started grabbing kids.
Yeah.
And it's kind of interesting, you know, looking back, because now I don't know any of these children.
Right.
I'm like, this isn't my church.
Yeah.
You know, like I don't know any of these kids, you know, but I just started, I was like, I don't think anybody's going to question me at this point, you know? Yeah. So then I just started grabbing kids and I was just grabbing people. And then finally I see Remy come out, you know? So I see Remy come out and I'm pulling. And then I see like Evie come out. I'm like, so I'm like, okay, I'm like, I got that too. And then I counted their, you know, my friend's kids. I was like, okay, well, there she is. Okay, here's the other one, you know, like, and so finally I got them all out. And Remy thought it was so cool that I was like, so calm and collected. He's like, how did you know I was in there? And I was like, I knew you were in there because I know where you are. I knew you were in there. Like, like, I'm not just going to like say, go ahead and go and not know where you are. You know, like, I don't have to be standing right next to you to not, you know. And he thought that was so cool. He's like, Dad saved us. Like, he kept on saying that I saved his life. And I'm like, oh, I don't think anything super bad would have happened. But, still, you know, it was kind of, I lived a cool dad moment for all the week, you know.
cool dad moment. That's awesome. Yeah. That's awesome.
So, but it made me think about, or, you know, when you were saying, like, not be in a panic or manic state, that, you know, you can kind of calmly look at a situation and be able to handle it. And I think God gives us those tools to do that, to be future minded, to be prepared, right? We talked about it before, to be like proactive instead of reactive, you know, but to also live in the moments that he's given us here on earth, you know, with fellow, you know, Christians and even non-believers too. So
it's a great example of relaxed readiness. You're looking towards it because you're looking at your kids, but if and when there's an emergency, you can act in an unpanicked way, and we're more helpful than probably someone who was, you know, screaming or something. If you had gone run over there screaming and everything, it probably wouldn't have been as helpful.
Kids would
have been panicking and
wouldn't
have been good. Parents would have been panicking. So.
Exactly.
That's good. Yeah. That's good. I like that. Some of the best things that come out of this podcast are just those stories, you know, that come from our lives that sort of make these things real and connect for us.
Yeah.
I think that, you know, my heart is that, and I don't want to be jaded about the second coming, but I have heard people predict it. I've lived long enough that I've heard people predict it come and go. So I don't want to be jaded, because I do know that there's a very real possibility that these are the last days and Jesus is coming back any moment. But I also know that I've seen people get derailed by being so focused on that they miss out on, they don't have a long-term perspective. They're not living as if God's called them to really make a difference for decades and decades and decades.
Right.
And that's a very real possibility. That's for every other believer who's ever lived. That was what they were facing.
Right.
So that's a very real possibility too. And I want to hold those two things together. That's why I ended the message yesterday with the idea of just living well today.
Yeah.
That if we live well today, then putting on the breastplate and the helmet was the example from the scripture.
Right.
You know, that it's going to change our behavior. It's going to change our relationships. It's going to change the way we live today. And if we do that, we'll be ready when he returns.
Right.
That's the best way we can be prepared now, is to live well here. What God's asked us to do right now.
Right. Yeah. Your story of the junior hire wearing the, was it the shirt or the hat?
Yeah, it was a shirt that said, Jesus saves, bro.
Yeah. I thought that was great. I thought that was a great story and how, you know, I think it was his mom, right? His mom was asked him, you know,
mom
like,
said, well, if you go wear that shirt, you better be on your best behavior because everybody's going to know you're a Christian with that shirt on.
Right.
And he said,
he's like, well, I'm always on my best. Like, why wouldn't I be at my best behavior?
I should always be on my best behavior.
I love that.
Mom.
I'm like, that's so good. Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, make Jesus proud, you know, like that. I love his attitude was great, you know?
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
I wish I was that smart back then. Could you imagine?
Well done, little junior high boy.
I know.
Good job. Yeah, that's. When I first heard that story, I go, I'm going to use this sometime.
Yeah, that's great.
Really good.
Yeah,
really good.
So good.
All right. Well, I told you there's a number of ways people have been, got some good feedback and responses and even some fun ones. From listeners. So there's this one question that's really, you know, a lot of times we get funny questions.
Sure.
I feel like.
Yeah. But sometimes we do.
Sometimes we do. And like, but this one was actually a very serious question, but I think it was a really good one.
Yeah.
And so coming out of this series a week or two ago, I think it was just last week, we're talking about on the podcast the idea that when Jesus comes back, he's going to resurrect our bodies and we have real physical bodies.
Right.
There'll be spiritual bodies. They'll be designed for eternity and not just for, you know, our physical life here and now, but they will be real and physical
right.
and substantial bodies and not just, you know, these wispy kind of ghost-like bodies sure. that we sometimes picture. And this listener wrote that was super helpful and then asked if I could offer some assurance to those who have loved ones that have been cremated during their regarding their bodily resurrection. How does that fit? And I realize this is a delicate question and I don't want to sound overly prescriptive here or, you know, jump to my answer so quickly that I don't feel like I've made it sound like that's a tender and a delicate question that people have to address. So I don't want to overstate this, but I have been asked that a lot. So yeah. I have thought about yeah. this quite a bit over the years because it is a question that comes up, a real practical one that comes up. And my answer is, I think that's a legitimate and an okay way
right.
for people. They have to figure out what their family wants and all. There's a right. lot of things that go into that decision, and I don't want to just give a green light without them considering their loved ones. But if that's their decision, or if that's the decision that people in your life and family have made, I think that's just fine.
Yeah,
if there's really it's not about how our bodies decay or.
Right.
How quickly, how slowly they decay. You know, the Bible says ashes to ashes and dust to dust. Our physical bodies are going to break down. And the way that we died or the way that we were interned or taken care of after we died isn't going to in any way affect the bodily resurrection of Jesus. The bodily resurrection that Jesus has for us, I should say. It doesn't affect it in any way. And so I think I would put people at peace about that decision.
Yeah.
There's nothing unchristian
right,
about
right,
doing
right,
that.
Right. Right. Yep.
So that's my answer to that. Great. I've asked that a lot. And again, I realize that's, maybe a sobering topic, but I think that maybe it was helpful for people to think about.
Yeah.
Also,
yeah. Great question.
Also, I got an answer back last week. So the person that sent us the picture with the mug by the fireplace,
right.
I mean, by the campfire.
Yes. Yes.
And then we asked the question, I wonder if that was washed, because he sent us a picture of the night before at the campfire
yes.
and then the next morning at breakfast. Well, he answered our question.
Okay.
He didn't wash it.
Okay. Thank you. I stand by, camping will never be clean.
Yeah. he did not wash it. He goes, sorry if that's gross, but I did not wash it between the campfire and
right.
the next morning.
Right.
So
right.
thanks for your honesty.
Yes.
Thanks for thanks for listening.
Yes.
Listening
yes.
enough, because we mentioned that last week and
he
answered
great.
Right away.
Yeah, that's great.
So,
well, Cindy, called me out for... you know, the definition of clean.
Yeah.
Right. Because she knows that I'm a big proponent of the summer clean.
Right.
Which is, I'm like, you know, if the kids played outside in the sprinklers or if they, you know, if they went in the pool, I'm like, they're clean.
They're clean. Yeah. Summer clean.
They're summer clean. You
yeah.
know, and she's like, that's almost as bad as camping clean.
Yeah.
And I was like, I think camping clean is still worse, you know, so we went back and forth on it, you know.
But you've never been camping.
True.
So
true.
What do you know about camping clean? What do you know about it? So
I know that you're not.
on the topic, someone came up to me and said, well, I heard in the podcast last week that Ryan said he's never been camping.
I have, yeah.
And
yeah.
then she said, I happen to know also that, Doug, you really enjoy camping.
Yes, yes.
So she said, why don't you take Ryan camping? That was her recommendation that I should take. I go, you mean his whole family? Everything? That would be a lot of work for all those kids.
Yeah.
And she goes, no, just take him camping.
So I would like to keep our friendship. I don't think you'd enjoy camping with me.
Oh my gosh.
I'd be Googling where's the closest coffee shop.
Yeah. Like, how come I can't get Wi-Fi right here? What's going on?
Where do I plug in my laptop?
Yeah, camping is a different animal. But I honestly have to say, you should try it with your kids. It's not going to go well. There's going to be.
You're not selling this to me.
There's going to be problems. There's going to be things that you forgot to bring. Something's going to go wrong, and it'll be your favorite memory for years and years and years.
There you go. It's like teaching somebody how to skate. It's like, it's not going to be fun at first, you know? Yeah. And it's not going to be fun for a while, you know, where you're like, you know, kind of doing the little like, you know, little like giraffe legs or the horse legs, you know, and it's like that for a long time.
But that part's not fun.
No, that's not fun. So,
but then it's where it gets you to.
Right. Yeah. So maybe I should try it to maybe get to the fun part.
Yeah.
You know,
it's fun right away.
You just said it wasn't going to be fun.
I'm saying it's going to be miserable and it's going to be fun at the same time. It's going to be miserable and memorable and it'll be legendary after that. Miserable. It goes from miserable to memorable to legendary.
Really?
That's how camping goes. Yeah.
Well, okay. All right. Yeah. All right. Okay. Well, you know, I don't know. You know, maybe it's the same concept with like moms too. Like when they have like, you know, when you have like multiple kids and it's like the hardest thing to do is to give birth. Right. But they keep doing it over and over. It's like, maybe it's like that, you know, where you're like, it's tough at points. It's hard, you know, but then, you know, you get a baby and it's legendary, you know? So maybe that's what it is.
You know? That's a good comparison.
There you go. Okay. Yeah. All right.
I still think you should do it. I'm not going to take you camping cause I value our friendship, but I think you should go.
Okay. I'll try. I just have a feeling like you're going to be like, Ryan, you can just chill. You know, like I feel like my ADHD would be all over the place camping. You know,
I had, I don't know. No, I'm going to leave that. My internal filter just kicked in and I'm going to leave that. So yeah, let us know when you go camping.
I will.
Let us know. I want to hear all about it. We'll devote like a whole episode to it if you end up going. It'll be amazing.
Okay.
All right. Well, I hope this has been a encouragement to you as listeners as we kind of go into, you know, this whole series on looking forward to the Lord's return. Paul says several times in 1 Thessalonians, let this be. Encourage one another with these words, or let this be an encouragement to you. So however we view the second coming and the urgency of it, and you know, however we balance being both prepared as well as ready, relaxed as well as alert, however we put those things together, it should be an encouragement to us. It should encourage our hearts and lift us up. Thank you, Ryan. I appreciate it. Love the insights, love the glimpse into your life as well. That's awesome. Thank you to our enthusiastic viewers and listeners. Thanks for the comments that have come in this week. Please do so. You can give comments to us either on the YouTube page itself, or those who follow along on the audio version, you can send it to unhurriedpodcast@gmail.com. We love hearing from you. And if you send us a photo of you with any of your swag, we will mention it in the podcast. Until next time, this has been Unhurried with me, your host, Doug Kyle, and I look forward to talking soon.